Chapter 7. I was kicked back to my own body, and I gasped as I sat up in the grass next to Cass. The strawberry blonde's mouth was parted, and she pulled in deep breaths as she continued to sleep peacefully. My own breaths were ragged as I tried to calm myself down, and I ran my hands through my hair, only to realize I was covered in a sheen of sweat. I licked my lips and looked up at the sky. It was nearly dawn, and the barest bit of light shone through the trees, but I wasn't going to be able to go back to sleep, so I got up, pulled on my clothes from the night before, added a log to the fire to keep Cass warm, and made my way to the stream. The early sounds of the woods were peaceful as I walked through the trees toward the stream that ran through my property. I could hear the birds chirp all around me, and the songs of various nocturnal critters as they burrowed back into their homes. Once I got to the stream, I got down on my knees and pooled water in my hands to splash on my face. The terror the little dragon felt had taken over me, and I couldn't seem to feel anything but that since I woke up. The water helped me to think like myself again, though, and I splashed myself a second time for good measure. Then I pulled off my shirt and pants and stepped into the brisk stream. My body was immediately covered in goosebumps as the cold water enveloped me, but it felt good, and I laid down and allowed the gently flowing stream to surround me. The current wasn't strong enough to move me far, and after a good 10 minutes or so, I'd only shifted a few feet down the bank. With my head clear, I got dressed, pulled my hair back, and tied a little piece of leather around it to keep it from getting in my eyes. Then I took a few deep breaths and made my way back to my small but lively courtyard. Before I made it through the trees, I could hear the girls talking, so I knew they were all awake and probably wondering where I'd gone. I stepped through the trees, and the three of them immediately turned their heads to look at me.
"Rath, there you are."
Asta smiled, but then she caught my eye and her white eyebrows pinched together as she frowned.
"What's wrong?"
"No, I'm all right."
"No, Asta's right. There's something wrong."
Ira agreed as she narrowed her eyes at me. "I had a dream." I shook my head as I sat down. "Well, not so much a dream."
"You were a dragon?"
Cass asked quickly, and she leaned forward and looked at me with excited violet eyes. "I was." I nodded. "It was one I'd been before."
"What? Was it the one in the Elf King's dungeon again?"
"No, not this time. This dragon was much smaller. It was the one I saw through a while ago. She was a little purple dragon."
"In the shop! She was about to be sold, right?"
"Yeah, she was." I nodded.
"Oh, no."
Asta frowned even deeper.
"Is she okay?"
"Not exactly. She and a lot of other dragons are being tortured."
"Bastards!"
Ira seethed as she bared her teeth.
"Did you see where they were at? I know a lot of places in Alfheim. I'm sure I can help if you were able to see anything noteworthy."
"Oh, that's just it. They weren't in Alfheim."
"What?"
Cass's strawberry blonde eyebrows pulled together.
"Where were they?"
"Midgard." I pursed my lips contemplatively.
"Midgard? What were they doing there? You saw a dragon in Midgard once before, the little one you thought was rescued."
"Yes, that dragon was in no danger. It was in a loving home."
"We never did figure out how that Midgard family of humans got it, though. We figured they ran across an egg that had been dropped or something when someone passed through, but if elves are using Midgard as a place to hold dragons, they could have gotten it through them." "Hmm."
Ira shook her head.
"You said they're being tortured."
"Yes." I gritted my teeth, but took a deep breath to calm myself. "I don't think it's just where the elves are holding the dragons, though. I believe they are running a training camp. I saw two elves, and two humans, too. It seems the elves are using the humans to help them with training."
"Last time we were in Midgard, the people didn't even seem to know what the dog was."
"Because of their short lifespans, Midgard is constantly changing. The humans have probably developed a lot as a species since you were last there."
"I suppose you're right."
"I think the humans are more than likely just pawns. The elves were clearly still in charge."
"Why move their operation to Midgard, though? Midgard isn't traveled too often."
Ira shrugged.
"Especially not by the Bifrost. Nobody really has business with the humans, so there's no need to go there."
"You think they're hiding out?" I nodded.
"I do."
That makes sense. If they don't want anybody to know where they're at, Midgard is a good place for that.
Especially with the amount of people from different realms coming after the dragons. If the frost giants knew where this place was, they'd be all over it.
They'd have to know in order to attack it when they attacked the castle.
Their plan was to take out the training camps when they attacked the castle, but I'm not sure this particular camp is run by the Elf King.
What do you mean?
Asta asked, and her yellow eyes widened as she looked at me.
You think these elves are training the dragons for their own purposes?
No. I shook my head. I heard one of them say the king will pay top coin for already trained dragons. They must be stealing babies and training them so they can get even more money out of the king.
So you don't think these elves are the same level of criminals as the frost giants we saw last night?
Ira said, and she looked up to the sky and thought. No, I don't think so. They seem like they're just in it for the coin and not much else.
What pitiful bastards.
Oh, just plain cruel. But as far as I'm aware, Midgard has been well explored, so it's nicely mapped out. That should help us find the little dragon.
You all want to go find her? I asked with a smile.
Of course. That shouldn't even be a question.
Well, I was just concerned about our plans to visit the Elf King's castle.
Ugh, right.
Ira pursed her lips and thought for a moment.
We can go tonight, right? There will be less guards around.
Good idea, which means we can go to Midgard today. We have plenty of time.
Thank you, I said, and I looked at each of my women in turn. You all are incredible, and I appreciate your willingness to put everything else on hold to go save this little dragon.
To save any dragon.
Gas corrected with a half smile.
You don't have to thank us, Rat. We're happy to be here, and it wouldn't be possible without you.
Yes.
Asta nodded.
We should be thanking you.
I'm just happy we're all together. I smiled.
All right.
Ira laughed and stood up.
You all are so sappy sometimes, I swear. Let's get ready to go, yes? We need to get this done before nightfall.
Of course.
Cass said, and her expression steeled with determination.
You're right. Let's get ready.
Blar walked over to my feet and looked at me with wide, pitiful blue eyes. He glanced down to his rumbling belly, then back up at me. Yes, I'll make a quick breakfast for everyone. The little dragon licked his lips and nuzzled my hand before he turned around and laid back down by the fire.
Does he beg for anything except food? Fights. Good point.
I smiled as I listened to the girls' chat, and I thought about how they had immediately jumped into action to save the little dragon I'd seen last night, while they also planned to accompany me to the Elf King's palace tonight to look for information about the dwarf he commissioned to make his weapons. This was why we all worked so well together. It wasn't just that they were willing to help the dragons, because there were others, like the council members, who were willing to do the same. It was the fact they would do that for anybody in need. These women were fierce, and they fought for justice, which was something I could always get behind. The girls and I got ready to go, and I packed the cart with a few things for the day, like some extra food for us and the dragons, and some coin and spare weapons we might need. Once that was done, I cut up some fresh fruits for the dragons' breakfasts, and I placed fruit on the seats of the cart for the girls to find whenever we got ready to leave. I didn't want to waste time making an entire breakfast, since we needed to get going, but we did need to eat something in order to keep our strength up.
Cass, you said Midgard is well mapped out.
Ira asked as the girls walked over to where I stood near the cart.
That's right.
Cass agreed, and she pulled her enchanted map from her magic satchel.
I've got the map for it right here.
That's great. But I was thinking, the realm is large, right?
Technically, it's the smallest realm.
Yes, but it's still miles upon miles, isn't it?
Of course.
Cass nodded.
All the realms are huge.
Then how are we going to figure out where to start?
Cass pursed her lips before she turned to me.
Rat, did you notice anything that might help us figure out where the dragon was?
Not that I can think of right offhand. I frowned.
Think hard. Close your eyes and go back to the dream. I'm sure it won't be pleasant, but it's a good idea.
I'll try, I assured them, and I took a deep breath and closed my eyes. I put myself back in that terrible place as the little purple dragon and tried to think about what I'd heard and seen while I was there. The first thoughts that popped into my head were of the poor dragons being tortured all around me, but I squinted my eyes shut even harder and shook the thought away. I needed to figure out where I was. I took another deep breath and thought about the dream. I was in a large open room with high ceilings, almost like a barn or some sort of underground area. I pushed past the sounds of the dragons screaming in pain and focused on the small noises I was able to hear. I hadn't noticed before, but now I was sure of it. I could hear the hustle and bustle of people walking outside. Children squealed with delight and vendors shouted about their wares. "A market," I said, and my eyes shot open.
"A market?"
Cass asked, and her strawberry blonde eyebrows pulled together.
"You're sure?"
"Yeah, I'm sure," I nodded. "We were somewhere near a market." But that's all I could figure out.
"Even that small amount of information is very helpful,"
Cass told me with a smile, and she put her hand on my arm.
"I'm sure it was difficult for you."
It was. I sighed as I scrubbed a hand across my face. "But I'll be all right just as soon as we free that little girl."
"Then let's go get it."
Ira grinned and looked at Cass.
"How many markets are there in Midgard?" "There's quite a few."
Cass frowned as she looked at the map.
"But there's only 3 or 4 larger cities. Should we try one of those?"
"I think we should." I narrowed my eyes. "I'm sure these assholes like to have a big clientele if they are selling dragons."
"Right."
Cass nodded and looked over the map once more.
"This is the largest city."
"Okay." I agreed before I looked down at Blar. "You think you can get us there, little buddy?" Blar looked at the map and then at me. He smiled and nodded fervently, and I could tell he was just as excited about freeing this little dragon as I was. I could feel his anticipation to get going, and I knew he'd have no problem marking a portal the size of the cart, though I wouldn't push him much harder after that. "All right," I smiled and clapped my hands. "Is everyone ready?"
"Ready,"
Asta nodded.
"Me too. Let's go."
Ira grinned. Before we left, Kaz disguised the One Horns as regular horses, so they'd blend in with the horses of Midgard. Then the girls and I all climbed up into the cart, followed by the dragons, who made their way into our laps, or Ira's hair, in Svas's case. Then Blar flew up into the air and hovered just above the cart for a moment, while he focused on making the portal. The little dragon flapped his wings to stay above us as he closed his eyes and focused, and a few seconds later a small portal appeared. The swirling air grew larger and larger until it was able to accommodate the cart and all of us, and then Blar landed on the front of the cart near my hands as I urged the One Horns through. On the other side of the portal was a dirt road with trees all around. They were unlike the trees we had in Asgard, but they were still beautiful, and they smelled very earthy and musky. The trees at home were full of leaves and flowers, but these sprouted up in long stretches instead of outward. Their leaves were pointed instead of large and bushy, and they all looked like strange triangles because of how their branches grew. Cass mused as we looked around.
At least the road looks promising.
Blar turned to look at me and frowned, but I just reached out and scratched under his chin. "You did a great job, buddy. You've never had to travel us here before, remember?"
"That's right. And we had you make a huge portal for the cart, too. Yes, I'm sure that took a lot of energy."
Cass smiled at the little reptile.
"We appreciate your traveling skills, and I'm sure we can find our way to the market from here."
Blar nodded and laid on my lap, though I could tell he was still slightly upset about not getting us exactly where he wanted to go. He'd managed to get us to exact places a few times, but he needed to understand he was still a baby, and he'd still need to continue to practice with his skills before he could truly master them. Even master sorcerers and sorceresses had a hard time with spells sometimes, and I thought about Prayna and how drained she'd been the day before. Granted, the other girls said she'd been faking it so I would continue holding her, but I wasn't sure that was entirely true. She did seem quite exhausted when I picked her up, and I knew Blah making huge portals was exhausting for him as well.
"Ah, here we are,"
Cass said as she looked at the map.
"It seems we're only a few miles from the market."
"Good job," I whispered to Blah and I scratched his chin again before he laid his head on my lap. I urged the one horns along, and we started down the dirt road toward the market. The Midgard air smelled musky, but somehow good, and I breathed the earthy scent in deeply as we rode. After a few minutes, two men came into view ahead of us. They were walking in our direction and chatting with each other.
Wrath, I forgot to hide my ears.
Asta gasped quietly, and she looked at me with yellow eyes full of horror.
Do you think they'll notice?
Yeah, most likely. I chuckled as I looked at Asta's beautiful protruding elf ears. But I don't think it is anything to concern yourself with. If they say something, we'll handle it from there.
You said you saw a couple of elves, right? When you were the dragon?
Yes, that's right. I nodded.
I guess the humans of Midgard have experienced a lot more now than they had last time we were here.
Kaa shrugged.
Or maybe we traveled to our particularly isolated and ignorant location last time.
Yes. I know Midgard isn't a popular destination spot, but it seems some of the humans at least know about other creatures.
Or maybe they think the elves are just humans with strange ears.
That's certainly possible. I mean, everything else about them looks the same. Just like us Aesir.
Right. It seems we won't have too difficult of a time fitting in. Though I can still assist you with hiding your ears if you'd like, Asta.
The elf girl bit her lip and thought for a moment.
I think that may be best. I'm not sure I want to be associated with the elves who come here.
Yes, you're probably right.
Ira nodded.
We wouldn't want anyone to think you're involved with the dragon trade.
We might.
Now that you mention it, it could come in handy.
Ira mused as she narrowed her green eyes in thought.
If we need to use my ears, we can. But I think for now I'd like to cover them. Of course.
Kaa smiled and murmured something as she reached out and grabbed hold of the elf girl's pointed ears. Red magic swirled around for a moment, and when Kaa pulled her hands away, Asta's ears looked just like my own.
How do they look?
Oh, you always look beautiful, with and without your elf ears.
Thank you.
She blushed and looked down, but just then the humans passed by us, so I kept my eyes on them as we rode by. The two men barely even looked at us as we went past, so I shrugged and continued forward. I didn't want to waste energy fighting humans anyway. Aesir were much stronger and more durable than they were, so there would be no contest between the two of us, and I had business to attend to. We continued on, and before long I heard voices behind us, so I looked back to see several women walking together in a group. They had children with them who ran to and fro on the road and chased each other as the mothers talked and laughed. Then just after that, more humans appeared on the road coming toward us. We must be getting close to the market.
I was thinking the same thing.
Ira nodded.
There's a lot of traffic now. According to the map, this market is huge, and we're still at least a mile away. I haven't seen a single elf.
Neither have I, I said with a thoughtful frown. Perhaps you were right to cover your ears.
I suppose it could just be the humans who work for the elves who know about them.
Or elves could simply be in common, like we suspected earlier. Either way, I also think Asta was right to hide her ears. We don't want to attract any unwanted attention.
Right.
Asta nodded. We continued down the small dirt road, and slowly more and more people appeared behind us and in front of us. There seemed to be more people leaving the market than going to it, but the closer we got, the louder the air around us became. I couldn't make out the individual sounds just yet, but I could certainly hear the jumble of noises from the market, and soon enough we were able to see an open area ahead of us. And we made our way through the trees and into the sunlight of the bustling marketplace. The roads around the shops were plenty wide enough for people and carts, but there were so many humans it was nearly impossible to get through them at a steady pace. The one horns, who appeared as regular horses to everyone else, constantly stopped when a child ran in front of them, or when the crowd conglomerated in one area and they were forced to halt instead of running into a whole group of humans.
Don't humans have any manners?
Ira muttered as we moved along slowly through the street.
I don't think they're known for their manners. We must also remember how new their species is and how rapidly they've changed. It must be quite troublesome to have such a short lifespan.
Then they should be hurrying.
Ira glared and shook her head. As we moved through the street, I looked around at the vendor booths and the humans surrounding them. Oh, Midgard had changed dramatically since the last time Kaas and I were around. It had only been a few months since Kaas and I stumbled upon the realm, but Kaas mentioned that time moves faster in Midgard, so I guess I shouldn't be too surprised by all the changes. Still, the people didn't seem to even have running water last time we were here, and their homes were simply huts made of mud and tree branches. Now, they'd developed some carpentry skills. The vendor booths and shops were made of wood, and they looked nicely put together. Obviously, they weren't as well made as the shops in Asgard, or even those in Alfheim, but they were definitely an improvement over what they had before. Their clothes had changed, too. Where the humans had all worn the same color and kind of fabric last time we were here, now they boasted clothes of all different colors. They were much different than Aesir or Elven clothes, and the short tops the men wore, which only came to their waists, looked ridiculous. The women's dresses were somewhat similar to the ones of my people, but they were longer and more covering. I'd yet to see a woman with her arms exposed, even though the sun beat down on us with wild heat. Even with all these improvements, they were clearly still nowhere as advanced as the other realms, and I wondered about their knowledge of dragons. I knew at least some humans were aware of them, since I'd seen through the eyes of a dragon who lived with a human family, but I wondered how many other humans knew about dragons and how. Dragons didn't naturally live in Midgard, so they had to have been brought here, presumably by the elves.
I haven't seen any dragons yet.
Kaas murmured as we trucked along slowly. I haven't either. I shook my head. I was just wondering how the humans in Midgard even came to find out about dragons.
It must have been the elves' doing.
Sometimes I'm surprised at how intelligent criminals actually are.
Kaas grumbled and shook her head.
It would be a lot easier if they were all stupid.
It would. But then I don't think we'd have much of an issue at all if that were the case.
If they were really smart, they'd leave the dragons alone. We all know what happened to Vinra. If they continue to train them through torture, it will happen to them one day too. I hope so.
Kaas muttered under her breath. Oh, we won't let it get that far. We'll fix this before they have to. Asta was referring to the man who was now in Helheim, since Odin had banished him when he'd banished the dragons. Vinra was the original dragon slave trader, and he'd tortured plenty of dragons into submission during his day. Finally, the dragons had stood up for themselves and attacked, and they'd been labeled as monsters who couldn't control themselves, so Odin banished them from Asgard to keep his people safe and happy. I wasn't sure if the king wanted to banish them or not, but he'd done it, even though I didn't see how anyone who knew the full story would think the dragons were in the wrong. The Aesir were frightened, though, and I knew Odin was simply trying to do the best he could to ease their worries. I didn't think it was the right decision, but I understood it. Still, Asta was right. The dragons would tolerate such treatment for so long, and one day they'd remember how huge and overpowering they could be. Dragons were not inherently violent, though, and I'd sensed before how violence took a toll on the magnificent beasts. They did not want to fight, and to push them to the point of having to defend themselves would be bad for everyone involved, even those who had nothing to do with the dragon trade. The creatures were massive, and if they lashed out, they could easily cause some serious damage without meaning to. No, I needed to make sure we saved them before that ever happened. Then we'd go back to save Ove, Vinra's dragon who was in Helheim with him. The beautiful black male didn't belong down there, and I promised him I'd retrieve him after this war was finished, and that was a promise I intended to keep.
Wait!
Asta suddenly whispered, and she discreetly pointed in front of us.
What is it? I see it.
Me too. I sighed. In the crowd ahead of us was a young boy with a small metal cage in his hand. And inside the cage was a baby dragon.